There's no point in having a math discussion if students aren't listening to each other. It's pointless, and it is a waste of time.
This is Honest Math Chat, and I'm Mona Eel of Mona Math. I'm a former math avoider turned math teacher cheerleader, and I'm going to get real honest with you about math classroom culture, engagement, math discussions, and all the student-centered instructional practices to help you empower your students to love and understand math deeply. So every Monday on Honest Math Chat, we're going to work together to make our classrooms places where students see themselves as mathematicians. But let's not wait. If you're ready to engage every learner and get them pumped about math, you've got to use math discussions. I welcome you to download the guide to engaging math discussions right now. Go to monamath.com/discussions. You'll get all my best tips on how to guide on the side while getting every child meaningfully engaged in discussing their math thinking.
And you're probably like, dang, Mona hitting us with that honesty right off the bat. That's harsh. And it is. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I just want you to not waste your time if it's not paying off. Because you don't have extra time. I know that. And I want whatever you're doing with your math time to be worth it. However, I will say that math discussions are the best way to ensure that students are able to communicate their thinking and deeply engage with complex math. Math discussions are my favorite instructional strategy. And the question comes up a lot with teachers of like, but do math discussions even work? John Hattie is a researcher. He developed a way of synthesizing various influences, okay, in many different classrooms and learnings, okay? So he did an analysis of the effect size, okay? And it's all compiled in his study called Visible Learning. Stick with me here. He ranked 138 influences, right? Like things we do in the classroom or influences on learning. And they're all related to learning outcomes, okay? From very positive effects to very negative effects. He found that the average effect size of all interventions that he studied to be 0.4, or 0.4, okay? Therefore, he decided to judge the success of influences in learning environments to this point, 0.4. He considers this the hinge point. So anything above 0.4 influence is an effective strategy, and anything below is a negative influence. So he did this in order to find the answer to the question, what works best in education? On his graph from his report, Visible Learning, discussions are ranked at 0.82 or 0.82, which is significantly more than the hinge point of 0.4. That tells us that math discussions or discussions in general do have a positive effect on student learning. So then the question becomes, when do discussions work best? And I have to say it's when 100% of the students are participating. What does participation look like in a math discussion? And I'm going to tell you, are you ready? It's participate by speaking, participate by listening, and participate by thinking. And so this should be your expectation for every child in your class to participate in those three ways every single day. Because if they do, then we know it has a positive influence on their learning. So each child in your class should participate by speaking, listening, and thinking. And obviously, some of those are easier to track and assess than others. It's really hard to know what kids are thinking, right? That's why it's important to teach students how to participate in these ways. So let's talk about and break down how to teach students how to participate by listening. Active listening is a common phrase that I hear in classrooms. This usually means whole body listening, like a still body, eye contact, hands free. And why does this work? You might be asking yourself. because when students are looking at the person without distractions of movements or objects in their hands, then they are better able to listen. It also teaches students to participate with their body language by showing the person speaking that they're engaged with their nonverbals. So think about it like this. As adults, we know that we attend better to the conversation that we are listening to if we are not looking at our phones, right? Instead, if we are making eye contact and nodding our head, this helps us stay in the conversation. And the same is true for our students. However, it's not something that they automatically know how to do. We have to teach them this. And just a note about teaching students how to listen and participate. We have to do this every year, kindergarten to high school. No matter the grade, students will need to continue to work on this skill of listening. They will likely need reminders every day. So I know it's tempting to think things like, but they're in fourth grade. Now they should know how to listen to each other and participate in a discussion. But the truth is, their brains are still developing. They are still learning. They still need support and practice at building these listening skills. And if we're honest, as adults, we still need support with listening and communicating, right? So now let's talk about how we can teach our students to participate by thinking. Obviously, you can't think for students. However, you can give them thinking tasks. While she's talking, I want you to think about blank. During the share, I want you to figure out what she did and why she did it. These thinking tasks will help your students focus on what to listen for and think about while the person is talking. This helps them narrow their focus and keep their brains on track on the most important thing to think about. You can also help them by showing their thinking in class with silent signals. This allows students to show when they have a thought without immediately speaking. If you have taught any elementary grade, you know those kids that immediately when they have a thought, it comes out of their mouth. I'm pretty sure I was one of those kids. I might also be one of those adults. But you can show them the sign language for same, which is your pinky and your thumb outstretched and making a back and forth motion between your chest and the other person. This is a signal for me too, or I agree, or yes, yes, me too. And then you could have a signal for disagree. I particularly like one where you pinch your ear as a discreet way to say, I actually disagree, or I have a different thought. Those are ways that you can help your students make their thinking visible as well as focus their thinking so that they know exactly what they should be thinking about while they are listening. Now, teaching your students to participate by speaking is something that I think we focus on most when we're teaching students to participate in a discussion. And one of the most common ways I see that done is by putting up an accountable talk bulletin board. The sentence stems are all neatly and beautifully displayed on this accountable talk bulletin board where students are supposed to look up, choose a sentence stem, and then choose to participate in the conversation. The problem is these beautiful bulletin boards absolutely never get used. So, what do? Well, we take one of those sentence stems off that beautiful bulletin board and we put it in front of our students. Okay. I like my students sitting in a circle for math discussions, usually near the whiteboard. I will put that one sentence stem on the board and say, today, I want to hear you use this sentence stem. This allows students to actually use it and get practice at using it without having to decide, okay, which one of those am I going to use? And by the time they've chosen one and compiled their idea into that sentence stem, the discussion has moved on and they have completely missed what happened in the discussion while they were trying to organize their thought to get ready to speak. There just isn't time for all of that, right? So by creating a habit of having students focus on using one or two sentence stems each week, then they'll gradually build their repertoire of sentence stems that are just natural for them to use. Another thing I think you should incorporate while you're teaching students to participate by speaking is an opt-out. Because we have created a math community where absolutely everyone participates every day, students should be expecting to participate. And that should mean that they can opt out because we're not always ready to participate when we're called on. So they might say something like, I need more time to think, or I'm not ready to participate yet. Or can you come back to me? So consider adding in some language and making it visible so your students know that it's okay to say you don't understand yet or that you're not ready to contribute. So there's three ways to get students fully listening in math class and making the best use of math discussions. And those three things are listening, speaking, and thinking. Because a math discussion is about more than students just sharing out their ideas into the air of the classroom. And it must be about students listening and thinking and speaking to one another to deepen their understanding of math. Well, that was your dose of Honest Math Chat for today, friend. Thanks so much for listening. It would mean so much to me if you subscribed, shared this podcast with your friend, or leave a comment. If you have not downloaded my free guide that I made in response to the questions you have all about engaging your students in math discussions, go grab it, monamath.com/discussions. And if you have other questions that I haven't answered, shoot me a DM on Instagram at @HelloMonaMath. I can't wait to chat more with you next week. Remember, we're here every Monday. I'm always listening on my way to work. When do you listen? See you soon, friend.